Scottish actor Robert Carlyle knows how to leave an impression. He dropped trow in The Full Monty, playing the leader of a troupe of amateur male strippers. He terrorized heroin addicts as the psychopathic Begbie in Trainspotting. He's currently portraying an evil Rumpelstiltskin on the hit ABC series Once Upon a Time. Now, you can also see Robert Carlyle in a role that is a little bit closer to home. He plays a Scotsman with a deep love of rock and roll in the new film California Solo. It opens today at LA's New Art Theater. Robert Carlyle joins us now live from the studios of NPR West in Culver City. Welcome to the program.
Hi there.
In this new film, you play a guy named Lachlan, and he's a former Britpop rocker living and working on a farm outside of L.A. The writer and director of this film, Marshall Louis, wrote this part with you specifically in mind, even though he'd never met you personally before. And I was just wondering what that was like for you. You're reading the script. You know that this language has been written for you. Did you read it and say, oh, yeah, this is totally me. I've got to do it.
Yeah, it was, this is the first time that had ever happened. Any director had ever written something specifically for me. I guess my feelings when I read it at first was, well, if I don't play this, I don't know who is. Because even though we had never met, he'd obviously studied an awful lot of, particular characters that I'd played through the years. And the dialogue flowed very, very easily for me. So I thought, yeah, it was a very, very quick decision. I think within a couple of days, I said, yeah, I'll do this. You know, just there's something about Marshall that I thought, I like this guy. I'll take a chance on this.
This film is fictional, but I think especially for Southern California audiences, this main character seems very real. He's kind of this washed up rock and roller who had his big moment in the sun and he blew it quite tragically. I'm not going to give away why. That's something you want to see in the film. And now he just really doesn't know what he's doing in his life. And when we meet him, it's well after his salad days. But in your mind, as you were developing this character and thinking about it, what was he like when he was in this fictional group called the Cranks?
Well, I mean, this is the greatest part of Lachlan's life was when he was in their fictional band called the Cranks. And it was interesting for me because I kind of lived through quite a lot of that period myself, you know, especially, you know, in the sort of early to mid-90s, the Britpop era. I knew quite a lot of the personalities that were involved, so it was interesting to kind of revisit that in a way and think about the people that I had met in my own journey. You know, thinking about, you know, the boys from Oasis particularly. I mean, I'm good friends with those two. Also, people like Damon Albarn, who was you know, the lead singer with Blur, Oasis rivals in actual fact. And Paul Weller, a great friend of mine. So I kind of leaned quite heavily on my friendship and my knowledge of these guys in that time. And hopefully that gives it maybe a degree or a ring of authenticity that perhaps wouldn't have been there with someone else.
I don't know you personally, but I'm hoping that you're a more likable guy than this character of Lachlan. He drinks way too much. He's really rude to his coworkers. He has a teenage daughter who lives in the same area, and yet he never sees her until he gets in trouble with immigration, and then he needs her. Let's take a listen to a clip from a scene between your character, Lachlan, and his estranged daughter, Ari.
How come you never came to see us?
What did your mother tell you?
She told you to leave us alone. I guess if it were me, at least I would have tried. You know?
Yeah. You're right.
That's actor Robert Carlyle in the new film California Solo. Mr. Carlyle, this character is kind of pathetic in a lot of ways, and yet when I was watching this, I found myself strangely rooting for things to work out for him. Did you have any ambivalence? I mean, you guys share a lot in common in real life, this love of rock and roll, but I'm assuming you're not like him at all.
No, my God, no. quite the opposite. No, I hardly drink at all. It's just I'm not a very good Scotsman in that respect. I don't really like alcohol, and I'm very happily married with three kids, and you know that they are my life. So no similarity at all in terms of the character and me. it was, you know, this is a guy, you know, the scene that we just played there with his daughter, he hasn't seen her for, you know, 10 years, I think. He, you know, he's no real, you know, feeling of his own self-worth. He doesn't feel that he's worth anything to anyone. He doesn't feel as though there's anyone out there who gives a damn about him, you know, whether he lives or dies. So he's a kind of an ambivalence towards life in general, really. When you join him at first in the farm, he actually says, you know, that he's comfortably numb. And I think that kind of sums it up for Lachlan at the beginning of the film, that he has had this his moment in the sun in the 90s with the Britpop era, and this has been taken away through a tragic thing that happens, takes that away, and he's quite happy then to kind of live out the rest of his days in a farm, something that he had done prior to his musical career. He likes it there. He enjoys sitting there in the bar of an evening. And then, you know, I think one of the wonderful bits of the movie, in my opinion, are the podcasts that he does in his spare time, where he talks about the spectacular deaths of the great musicians, early untimely deaths of the great musicians. Calls it flame outs. And he puts an awful lot of passion into that.
It'd be a great real podcast. I do think someone should do it. You should do it.
You know, well, you know,
I know you've got lots of free time.
Plenty. Marshall actually said to me, Marshall Louis, our director, said, listen, if you want to do it, you go ahead and do it. Because I said to him, I said, I think this is a brilliant idea, because there are so many out there. You know, when you think about the amount of artists that have, you know, died spectacularly young. And I think it's a wonderful, wonderful idea. That I think I might just take that up and maybe do it in some local Glasgow radio station or something.
I listen. Although, note, in the film, you never wore your headphones. Always wear your headphones. As a radio professional, drove me crazy. Robert Carlyle, I'd like to talk about one of the other roles that people are seeing you in now. You have a huge following as the dual characters of Mr. Gold and Rumpelstiltskin on the show Once Upon a Time. Let's take a listen to a clip from that.
Yes, I can protect your little town. For a price.
We sent you a promise of gold.
Ah, now you see, I make gold. What I want is something a bit more special. My price is her.
Robert Carlyle, that voice is so magnificent, and it is so creepy, and it is such a far cry from your normal voice. How do you come up with the Once Upon a Time voice?
You know, thank you for saying so. I do love Rumpelstiltskin, I must say. You know, I've really fallen in love with the character. A very, very bizarre marriage that it is. But the voice came from a very unusual place. The whole character, if we can talk about the whole thing, there was three main pieces here. First of all, the look and the heavy makeup that I wear. It's very, what I seen it as was like masks, like a kind of mask that I was wearing. And I'd done quite a lot of mask workshops and stuff way back in the day, drama school and stuff like that. So that was kind of stage one. After that, I had to kind of find out or think about how this character would move. And the inspiration there came from Commedia dell'arte, the Italian, you know, high farce. So he kind of strikes poses, you know, in that style. And so the thing that was then missing was this voice, because I thought, well, I can't really come out and play it like this. I have to kind of give it a slightly different tone. And it came from the most bizarre and unusual place. As an actual fact, my six-year-old son, I just heard him one day. He runs about the house doing little voices and playing little games with himself, and he kind of does this kind of thing. And I thought, that is it, that's Rumpelstiltskin right there. He's got this childlike quality, this bizarre, slight creepy thing. You know, it's very cute when a 6-year-old does it. You know, when a 50-year-old does it, it becomes quite creepy. So that's where it came from.
I read somewhere that your whole attitude about what roles that you didn't want to take changed now that you've got three kids, and you thought a little bit more about what they might be seeing you in the future. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is right. I mean, I would have slapped someone like me years ago for saying something like that, because you know it's really not the actor's place, I don't think, to consider that. To be honest, you know, you should just play each part as it comes, as much as real and as honest as you can. But again, I would be being dishonest if I said it wasn't in my mind now. That if there's stuff that's in the script which is detrimental to child's health or something like that, or it's leaning on in the dark side, then I've really got to think about it now. And because it upsets me too much, I love my children so much, I love all children, and I can't do that anymore, and I've done it anyway. I've done years and years and years of craziness, and I think at this point in my life and my career, it's kind of sort of payback time. And of course, finding a part like Rumpelstiltskin and wonderfully written, by Edward Kitsis and Adam Horovitz are creators and runners, was just gold dust for me at this time in my life.
You've played so many amazing roles that I'm almost hesitant to ask this question, but it's something we've just been dying to ask ever since I saw it a few years ago. You once did an ad for Johnny Walker Whiskey, and it was one of the most phenomenal pieces of filmmaking I've ever seen. We have it up on our website. It's about 6.5 minutes long. It's all one take. It's you walking along this country road, and it all hinges on you saying just the right thing at just the right time. You say, lock, stock, and just at that moment, you walk by, two barrels. It's so brilliant. Yeah. How many times did you have to film that to get that shot?
Well, that was a day and a half. That was, I think, if I remember rightly, I went up and down that hill about maybe 35 or 40 times.
Wow!
And managed to get through it without stopping or any hesitation. Even hesitation was wrong. You couldn't, even if the line came, if there was too much of hesitation, it was gone. So I think I remember getting through it perhaps 4 or 5 times, perhaps. And the one that you saw was in actual fact the last take that we used. Suddenly it all came together. But it was an extraordinary thing. It was never, here's an interesting thing about it. It was actually never meant to be seen by anyone, really. It was what we call back home in the UK a corporate video. And it was done for Johnny Walker employees. That Johnny Walker had actually been bought over by a Japanese company called Diageo. And they made this thing for their employees to tell them about the history of Johnny Walker and the whiskey.
Yeah.
And again, of course, it makes sense when you know that, because you think that you've never seen a 6.5 minute long commercial, and it can't be cut into as a commercial.
No.
And to be honest with you, I wouldn't have done it as a commercial anyway. But suddenly it was leaked somehow onto the net, and it became this viral hit. It was astonishing.
One of many great appearances by the actor Robert Carlyle. You can see him now in the new film California Solo. It opens at LA's New Art Theatre today. Robert Carlyle, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you.